here with Francis Maxwell and Brett Ehrlich.
What's up?
All wearing our St. Patrick's Day green.
It's St. Patrick's Day.
Patty's Day. By the way, quick note, when you say St. Patty's Day, it's St. Paddy's Day, not St. Patty. Not St. Patty's.
I said St. Patrick's Day.
No, I get it.
But I when people
shorten it, they call it St. Patty's Day, like a patty.
Well, it's because it's Patrick.
I know, but it's just like, it's
well,
St. Patty.
You call
your patties.
Patty.
Patty.
Yeah, I love that.
Brett, you really committed. I feel like with both outfit and I saw your breakfast on your Instagram.
My lady went out and bought me some bangers.
Bangers
and a corned beef sausage.
Because
Whole Foods loves doing that, so I made them. I want you to know that I can cook that kind of stuff. Mm. It was delicious.
Delicious.
Good. And I had green beer.
Yeah. Wow. Already today.
Yeah. Today.
That's amazing.
I love that Guinness has been trending all day.
Yeah.
On Twitter. I love
it. Has it been?
Yeah. It's been trending all day.
Fantastic. Interesting. Very interesting. Just like our show today, we have a really fun rundown. We have an interesting Amy Schumer alt-right story. We have a story about a bread war. And I think all of these stories will be particularly interesting because I feel like Francis is going to be sucking up to me most of the time because he wants a ride very far after work during rush hour.
We should take time.
This story needs to be told at some point.
Yeah. At some point, we'll get to it.
It's
maybe
the most LA story you'll ever have.
It is. Most LA story, but it's also a story that's probably not going to happen after work. Let's jump right into the first story. So last week, a Seattle woman fought off a potential sexual assault predator in a public women's restroom while she was on a run. Now, she posted this Instagram detailing the event where she did use some sexual assault defense techniques to fight off the attacker. But now her image is actually being used by an anti-transgender bathroom campaign. So you're seeing here the same picture being used. And this is the Just Want Privacy campaign that is basically using this image to further their anti-trans bathroom agenda. Now, they said, sadly, what happened to Kelly is hardly rare. Each week yields new stories of deviant men who found ways to access females' vulnerable spaces in order to exploit them. They also wrote the perpetrators are almost always biological males. And yes, the predator list contains multiple trans women. Now, when Kelly Herron found out that they were using her image for this bill, she said she was the maddest at that she has been all week. Now, keep in mind, this was a week that she had to fight off a sexual assault predator. She said to the people behind I-1552, which is the bill that they are trying to pass in Washington right now, I say, not today, motherfuckers, which is what she said when this man was trying to assault her. She's kept saying, not today, motherfuckers, while she was fighting him off. I refuse to allow anyone to use me and my horrific sexual assault to cause harm and discrimination to others. So basically, she's really pissed, right? She said, what that man did to me was to me. We fought it out. There is no question about the wrongness of it. Now my face is being used to raise money for discrimination. It's bull. So yes, I agree that it's bull. And I think there's a lot of other reasons that this bill in general is bull. But I will give that, I want to get your guys' initial thoughts first.
She's a badass. When 100%. I read this, she used the self-defense techniques that she was taught at work. They had a teaching session, a seminar where they taught everyone these self-defense techniques. And I know many people who have been through this kind of stuff. And it is really difficult. It's like Krav Maga stuff, where like they teach you to do this and go for the throat and the junk, and then once these people, like I know a lot of very small people who had learned it at work, and then the next time I saw them, they're like, this is what I learned at work today. And then they come at you like that, and it's really, really effective. So she's badass for doing it.
100%.
And then after going through that whole ordeal, mm-hmm. where she fought off an attacker, to then have to go see the way her ordeal was being taken advantage of, I think that's sad.
Yeah. And it's so telling that she's more upset with that than what has actually happened. Like a traumatic circumstance nonetheless, and she's so upset that people are using her situation to fuel a hate-filled narrative. And that is what happens far too often in this political climate. People will take one thing and they'll use it as a means to justify. I mean, before there's even any details of a shooting declared, what happens? Immediately there's a free-for-all and people are saying, oh, it must be this, so therefore I'm going to use it to fuel my right-wing narrative. And I'm not saying people on the left don't do it either. I don't think people will take a situation and they'll try to attach it to whatever story they think fits whatever they want to push forward, whatever political agenda. And I think that's so shameful. And this is why I love this woman's story, because she's like, no, this is not the reason why I was attacked. This guy is a horrendous individual. He would have done this regardless of wherever he was. He saw someone that he thought was vulnerable and he was going to take advantage of that. So it just pisses me off when people try to justify their cause using this story.
Right. No, I think you're onto something. Also, just to give you guys some clarification, the man who attempted to assault her is Gary Steiner, who's a 40-year-old registered sex offender in Arizona. So she went into the public bathroom. He attacked her. Like Brett said, she clawed at his face. She punched back. Ended up locking him in the restroom until the police came and then was free. She told her story. And then, obviously, like Francis is saying, they kind of used this image and this story to justify their agenda. Which there are so many flaws in itself, right? Because they're not only conflating gender and sexuality, which is a whole other issue in itself, but they're conflating sort of feeling, having sort of some sort of gender fluidity, right? Identifying as trans or something like that, and being a sex offender, which is entirely offensive and entirely false. And so they're wrong on so many different levels beyond just using their image. And one more point real quick is that when there are sexual assaults involving trans people, the majority of the time, almost all of the time, they're against trans people.
Yeah, they're the victims.
Yeah, trans people are more victims, are more likely to be victims of sexual assault than heterosexual people or cis people. So,
and that's why when you see a situation like this, it's even more so annoying, because a lot of people will just see this as truth and they will automatically assume that this is as a result of allowing transgender people into these restrooms. So, and then that's, it kind of rolls over into the narrative pushed by the alt-right trolls like Milo Yiannopoulos, who goes on Bill Maher's show and just spews misinformation such as, oh yeah, transgender people are specifically involved in sex crimes more than anyone else. And then on that show, you get Bill Maher just being like, oh really? But it's like, that's horrendous. That's just spewing misinformation to try and fuel that narrative. And that's why when I did a video on it on Facebook, the first thing I addressed was, that's not true. You got to call that for what it is. That's bullshit. And he's trying to justify a case.
Well, it seems like part of the methodology of this group, Just Want Privacy, is to kind of, in a weird circular way, make trans people the perpetrators of sex crimes just by being trans people and using the bathroom.
Yes.
Right. Like they're making it. And I love it. If for the people who are having trouble with this, I get it. It's something new and you probably haven't spent much time thinking about it. And someone says to you, do you want a man walking into the women's room? Maybe you'll say no. But then again, just look at photos of the easiest one to wrap your mind around is women who've become men. So trans men with beards that just look like dudes. And you want that person to go into a women's room, just let them go into the room that they want to. And then also, like, the idea they say here, the reality remains that a grown man marched into a woman's bathroom in broad daylight in the middle of a busy park and nobody stopped him. But, like, if your law went into place, do you think that person who went into the women's room was like, oh, I was going to go commit a sexual assault and I was fine with that, but there's a local statute making it illegal for me to walk into this bathroom in the first place? No, that person wanted to go commit a sexual assault.
Yeah.
This is like not their main law that they're breaking.
No, I think that's a really, really good point, right?
When yes, you're talking I got
about
one right.
When you're talking about, you know, it's a public restroom. Like, he could have gone in there regardless of the law. Do you know what I mean? And so it's so stupid that they're like, oh, well, once we pass this law that's so egregious to this entire community, well, then we'll prevent all of these sorts of sexual assaults that aren't even committed by that community. So it's so illogical and so wrong. And I do feel bad for her that not only did she have to undergo this attempted sexual assault, but then she had to use her, somebody used her misfortune and her suffering to advance their extremely bigoted campaign.
Yeah, and I think all the people who want there to be this law in place making people go into the bathroom that they were, you know, that corresponds with the gender of their birth, I think until the laws have changed in your favor, you should boycott bathrooms.
Mm.
Just don't go to the bathroom at all. And it's hashtag hold it. Hold it in until the law is changed. And I support you in that 100%. I'm on your side. Just hold it. No number one, no number two, until this is priority number one. Thank you.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about some other bigots. All right. Staten Island chiropractor Danielle Serini Guadavaccaro has been arrested after threatening two New York officers and allegedly saying N-words don't belong in my neighborhood. Now, Guadavaccaro reportedly mailed two letters. One letter went to African-American NYPD officer Ebony Glover and another to White Crossing guard Jennifer Becker, whose child is black. Now, these letters say, my next opportunity will be getting rid of you and that ugly ass N-word child of the crossing guard. Keep thinking he's safe in school, but when the opportunity hits, it will with a bang. N-words don't belong in my neighborhood. So apparently they have this long-standing feud because she has her chiropractor practice, and apparently a lot of her clients were getting tickets, and she thinks that they had some sort of vendetta against her, right? And so basically these officers got a protective order against her in 2016. And when that wasn't good enough for her, she started harassing them via mail. And in one instance, sent them a box of Dum Dum lollipops, okay? Allegedly threw the lollipops at one of the officers. And she wrote in the box, enjoy the pops, Dum Dum. Don't think for a moment I forgot about the so-called crossing guard that is never doing her job in due time. Now, she has been charged with aggravated harassment, stalking, and violation of a protective order and is being held on a $3,500 bond after arraignment. I think she might need to get a life.
So good.
I think she just might need to get a life.
She's just mad because chiropractors aren't real doctors.
You not seen Two and a Half Men? Alan is a great doctor.
Not a real doctor. No, I'm kidding. My friend went to medical school for a long time to become
right.
a chiropractor.
Yeah. So obviously she is just this sort of flagrant racist, clearly.
Right, right.
And she sort of says these things. But I just can't imagine not having like enough work or a hobby or something like that to then extend whatever racism that you do hold to like send a box of lollipops that are like dum-dums. Like that just took so much thought and resources. Like just...
It's just
read a book.
It's so sad because she's being so creative with the dum-dum things, mm-hmm. and then she's being so uncreative with the racial slurs. Mm-hmm. Like, you stick to those really, like, it's dum-dum. I don't know if people at home understand this, but she's calling them dum-dums and giving them dum-dum lollipops.
Which
it just is great. But then again, you have to think it through and be like, what incentive are you saying here? Like, you're actually rewarding them for like giving tickets to people who visit your chiropractic practice. Yeah. You're rewarding them with candy. Like, that's just so stupid.
I mean, there's so many levels of stuff in this story.
I mean, I do agree with that. She's being creative. I mean, she was forced, the victim was forced to get a protective order at first. So then in order to not directly harass her, she resorted to sending things through the mail and trying to harass
her. Also a form of harassment,
yeah,
just
of course.
So we're clear.
So, you know, there's just different forms of harassment, but yeah. It's horrendous nonetheless. And it pisses me off that it's been going on for this long. I mean, this first suit was filed back in June of 2016, and this lady's still continuing to do so, and to the point where it's now being considered, yeah, she's, I would say, getting a slap of the wrist from what I've seen, and considering that she's continuously doing this and being... it's so racially disgusting in the way that she's putting forward these
attacks. Well, also, like, how is a crossing guard... I mean, I don't know. In LA, it's like people, they're special people who give tickets to your cars, right? But, like, how does a crossing guard have anything to do with the tickets that people are getting for parking for her chiropractor?
I'm sure if you sat down with Dr. Vaccaro, Guadavaccaro, which means look at the cows. So if you sat down with Dr. Guadavaccaro, I'm sure she'd tell you every single detail of it. I think it's absolutely amazing.
I think I'm going to skip out on that meeting, actually.
Just one last thing is the idea of going from just like yelling like curses and expletives at someone to going to mail. Is going from something that is from a he said, she said, hearsay remark to like sending them written evidence of your threats against their children.
That's what I was going to say. It's like, look, really, who's like the dum-dum? If you are going to be a flagrant racist and you already have a protective order out against you, and then to send like that written evidence saying the exact same racial slurs, like... Not the best move.
Yeah, and
not
the best move. She's got a preconceived agenda that she's been looking to justify, hateful agenda that she's been looking to justify. And as you mentioned, she's quite literally just playing into the idea and giving more evidence to the cause. So that's why I'm surprised is why it's been going on for so long. And it makes me think about the narrative involved. She's been racially abusive and continuously harassing someone to the point where she's had to find new ways to harass them and is still continuing to do it. So why don't we find new ways to hold her accountable for it and make sure that she doesn't do it again?
Yeah. It's just going like, God, that racist person's terrible, but these dum-dums are delicious. I don't know what to do. She called my kid an ugly N-word. I can't help but side with her. These are great.
All right, moving on. Former Texas State Senator Wendy Davis, in an interview with Vox, said that women need to stop being nice if they want to have any sort of meaningful conversation around gender inequality and to advance the movement of the Women's March. Now, she said, it was a display of this kind of pent up good girl behavior talking about the Women's March that we've all been up for a long time, where we've struggled to go along and get along. She says, I think some of us have suffered from the idea that if we navigate our way more subtly through the challenges we face as women, that that will somehow serve our ultimate goal. She then goes on to talk about some of the response from Trump's election. She says, I think this was like a big cold splash of water in all of our faces that we decided no more being nice. And then she goes on to clarify what she means by this, saying that it's not that we're being ugly now, but we're being much more assertive, and we're not demurring to the idea that this isn't a conversation that we should have. And I think if you have been to the Women's March on January 21st, or if you went to a Day Without a Woman strikes around the country just this month, you will see that there is a definite sort of change of direction of the narrative that women are giving off, right? In the way that they are approaching the issues, in the way that they are standing up for themselves, the way that they are frankly just claiming that they are feminist, I think is new and different than we have in other sort of situations prior to this election. It was a wake-up call, and I do agree with her that we need to stop, you know, being nice, and we need to be more assertive in what we want and what we are fighting for.
There's a couple of things that I agree with what she's saying. But and there's other things that I disagree with. Like, yeah. I've read into what she's talked about before in regards to the campaign and why President, why Donald Trump beat out Hillary Clinton. Mm-hmm. And I don't believe that's why the Hillary Clinton lost the election, because she was a woman. She basically blamed it on that Hillary Clinton, her words said, lost in a misogynistic climate. Hillary Clinton lost because she relied on being the better of two evils and was an awful candidate.
You can't claim that there's not a misogynistic climate.
And right. I'm talking specifically about Hillary Clinton and in a democratic ideology that she only lost because Donald Trump pushed forward this misogynistic
point. That's not in the words you quoted, but I totally know what each of you is saying.
No, that's what I'm saying. This is what I'm trying to push forward, is that a lot of the time people, specifically those in the Hillary campaign, trying to justify Hillary losing, it's either third party voters, Bernie Sanders caused this, oh, it's because she's a woman.
There's a lot of different factors why she lost. You don't get to claim that
she was a horrendous candidate.
You don't get, no, I disagree.
She lost because of all those things.
I disagree. I think it's a combination of a lot of different things. You don't get to say it's not one thing or another. You don't get to say that the fact that she was as a woman didn't play into to her losing.
I don't know why this is still a conversation behind.
No.
Like, it's been proven the Democratic National Party in general was corrupt in favor of Hillary Clinton.
100%. I'm not denying all the things that you're saying.
And after the loss, in a way of trying to deal with what happened, like, I take everything like a sports game. Rather than blaming the opponent, if you're lost against someone who has zero experience in the political field, and you're taking that in a sports game situation, you lose against someone who's got no experience, you don't blame the opposition straight away. You look at your internal party, what's going on, and try to figure out how this happened.
I'm not saying you blame the refs. You blame the FBI. James Comey, I blame the refs. Okay. Also, it wasn't a home field advantage. Now I'm just saying things that have to do with sports. The possession arrow malfunctioned. That doesn't apply.
I'm not denying.
Let's get back to this. I know. I get it.
Not a misogynistic point of view that's leading towards Hillary Clinton. I'm not saying there was people that wouldn't vote for her just because. There's people out there that probably voted for Trump because he was a man and she was a woman. I'm not denying that. But that's not the overarching theme that I feel Wendy Davis, she's not paying attention in the quotes I read to the other problems that were problematic in Hillary's campaign. She's saying it was a dagger to her that Hillary Clinton lost this, and that she felt she was, her exact words were, she was a fantastic candidate, she was going to do this, this, and this.
Right. So
that's not true.
That's right. That is your opinion, and that is a fair opinion, okay? But let's talk about this interview where that was a response to one question, right? Her response about Hillary Clinton. But I really want to focus on this concept of telling women that they have to kind of let go of the whole nice girl persona that they, a lot of the times that women uphold, right? I have found this personally in my own career. When I first started appearing on camera 2 years ago, I would get a lot, you appear as a woman someone on camera and you say anything about women or women's rights or something like that, you're instantly, frankly, a feminazi cunt, okay? So let's be real. Like, that's what you're called. And so for a long time, I didn't want to speak so aggressively about women's issues or women's rights and fighting towards equality because I was nervous about the backlash, right? And at this point, we are in a climate where a lot of the issues that we're fighting against aren't new issues, right? It's like healthcare, making less than men, not having more women in CEO positions, not having more women in government and things like that. These aren't new issues that happened after January 20th, but we're learning that because in such a misogynistic culture that this man who claims to sexually assault women can rise to the highest chair in the entire country, okay, that we have to be more vocal and more aggressive with our message and change up the way that we are doing and the way that we are spreading the word.
And Francis's counterargument would probably be something like, there was so much else that was screwed up that like something that would submarine a normal candidate in a normal era didn't. Like, but you're right. I think what she's pointing out, Wendy is doing an interview about race, about gender relations in America, and during that she's focusing on things that women can do in order to, you know, progress more in the fight.
Right.
And I think a good rhetorical stance is to say, yes, it's a misogynistic environment, whether that contributed directly or, I mean, definitely not the sole contributor to what happened, everyone can agree.
Yeah.
But she's saying like, all right, let's look at the misogynistic environment that prevails and was whether directly or not, reinforced because the guy who said the worst thing anyone's ever said as a major candidate for a party won.
Yep.
What do we do now?
Yeah. Exactly.
And I think she has some really good stuff. She talks about like the issues. She talks about we need to talk. And I think some really great tactical, if we're talking tactics, Francis.
Yeah.
I think it's really smart to say, let's look at whether we're on offense or defense. Mm-hmm. The places where we need to hold. We need to hold the control over your own body. Mm-hmm. But right when you do too much of that, you find yourself so off. You're playing defense. You're trying to put out fires as opposed to trying to figure out and get rid of the thing that's causing the fires in the first place.
Yeah.
Right. And I think the idea of going on the offensive is great. Yeah. And she outlines three main areas to do that. And I think it was a really effective interview.
Yeah,
and that's when I first, I didn't get to the things that I agree with because, of course, I understand that the points I had, people might not agree with. But the ideas that I did agree with is exactly, yes, I agree with what is happening right now. Is that there is this tarnishing of women standing up for what they believe with both from men and women. I spend half of my time ripping apart a woman who is there to shame other women on Facebook for standing by their beliefs because I simply believe that absolutely the laws that are put in place to roll back views on abortion and the funding to give women the right to their own choice is despicable. I'm completely against that.
Right.
What I'm saying in this specific situation is overall, I feel like, yes, her message holds true and it's an important one. But what I felt that she was then alluding to from that message carrying forth was to justify Hillary Clinton losing the election. And I'm coming from a background, maybe I'm a little bit more numb to it, Hannah, because I was in an environment, my country's still feeling the repercussions of the first woman leader who is celebrated throughout the world. Meryl Streep plays on a movie and all of a sudden everyone thinks that Maggie Thatcher was a good leader. It had nothing to do with the fact that she was a woman. She was horrendous.
My favorite Margaret Thatcher joke is like a back and forth. It's like, what am I doing? And then the answer was, who am I right now? It's like, I'm Margaret Thatcher doing all I can for Britain's poor.
It's very true.
Francis, I get your point. And I do think that the majority of this interview that she did with Vox is talking about moving forward, right? Mm-hmm. And the way that she thinks that the women's march movement needs to do so and needs to progress. And so it's really getting into this no more nice girl sort of thing. And I think just sort of standing up for what you believe in, and you do a lot of that, right? You do sort of, not the no more nice girl part, but you do a lot of sort of coming across in a more aggressive and more offensive way, which is important because we realize that just being on the defense and just trying to play nice and sort of do things, like she said, demurely, don't work anymore.
Yeah,
and so we need to be more aggressive in it.
Yeah, it's weird. It's tough because everyone, you just got to try things out. The idea, you don't want to like say this is unfair and this is tough and I blame the system. You want to try stuff out till it works. Mm-hmm. Like for me, I remember one time I did and I'm not a woman in the business place, but I remember going up as a very intimidated person trying to have a negotiation with the head of legal affairs for a company I worked for. Mm-hmm. And the best thing I did was be too nice. I didn't ask for a raise. We ended up just chit-chatting for like an hour, yeah. And that ended up working.
That actually doesn't work for women, that if you are considered nice and agreeable in the workplace, you actually make less than the women who are considered more assertive. There's a lot of studies out there.
Right, so that's great. But what I'm trying to get at is, for me, when something's not working for me and I start blaming the refs and I spend too much time talking about like why it's not working for me as opposed to what Wendy's doing, which is like, let's try this new approach. Mm-hmm. I think that is the most healthy thing, because I think too often, regardless of your gender, I get too caught up in what's wrong, what like the rules are that are ruining things for me. Yeah. And it always helps to do exactly what this is, which is like, go try something new.
Yeah.
And everyone's like annoying who is like, it's not fair here.
Yeah. And
communication.
I agree with what Hannah was alluding to as well, is like, if you are, for a woman, it's this ideology that if you are pushing or you're being more aggressive, you're considered bossy, or
you're
stepping,
you're stepping,
and as you mentioned there, I've always been assertive and forward with my opinions, and I'm considered confident, and I push my opinion across. Right. So I don't think that it's fair. What I'm saying, when I'm just looking at Wendy Davis, I stand for that ideology. I want to help and empower women to stand and move forward. What I'm trying to grasp at here is, I've heard the argument many times online that if Hillary Clinton won, it was a massive, massive victory for women in leadership. Whereas in my own head, I can't justify that the Democratic Party would be in a better position if Hillary won in comparison to Bernie. Nothing to do with gender, just to do with what they specifically
said. Yeah, but you just did it in comparison to Bernie.
Exactly, but that's what I'm saying.
And that's completely different.
Which, again, right? But what I'm looking at with the messages that she's putting forward as a Democratic lawmaker, there was nothing outlined there to uphold the progressive wing of the Democratic Party.
That's why I like this statement by Wendy, which is like, if you don't see it and therefore you don't have modeled for you how successful women are in those roles, you don't yet trust that women can do it. It's the same with like Obama. And for me, I remember when George Washington became president, I was like, a white guy can be president. And now I can model my life around that.
All right, guys, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back. Back on the Young Turks, Hannah Cranston here. So I want to read some of your tweets with hashtag TYT Live.
I thought we were going to have it. I lived under a bagpipist.
Once. Oh, did you want to talk about the bagpiping?
Sorry, the worst.
Did I skip over the bagpiping?
Thanks. Just about bagpipes for a second.
It's the hardest instrument.
Yeah, it's terrible, but it's the worst thing you could do. Have you ever lived under a bagpiper?
I have not.
Oh, it's the worst. I have a few tweets I want Hannah to read.
All right, so from Michael Ritchie, he says, why don't conservatives care about sexual assault outside of bathrooms? That's a really great point. And because it's not about sexual assault so much, it's really about sort of not understanding gender fluidity, I think. I think it's just sort of this conservative and religious standpoint where they just do not understand anything that's not cisgendered.
They don't care about sexual assault within the Oval Office. Why would they care about
sexual assault? Good point.
I don't know. I feel like religiously, I get the logic of, here is a sacred book that teaches me everything I need to know about the world. Mm. And things outside that are trying to take away from it. It's trying to make the world less sacred. Why would I want it to be less sacred? What we try to introduce is like, okay, let's reread it in a way. Like, let's take your life experience and what you consider to be fair and try to get
But they're really good at that when they want to be, right? Like, we don't stone women. We can eat shrimp and things like that. It's a picking and choosing sort of thing, right? It's a very sort of like, they're good at like saying, oh, well, this was written 2,000 years ago with some things, but not so much on other things. So the next one, Joshua Capo Bader says, definitely agree with Frances Maxwell on this. Hillary lost because her lack of message, not because she's a woman. While W.B. Steinem says, preach Hannah Cranston, no mansplaining allowed about misogyny.
I was mansplaining?
Not technically. Let me say what Francis was trying to say.
Do you want to mansplain it?
I
actually mansplained Francis once when I said, here's what Francis would probably say. So I think I just
Fransplaining.
I was fransplaining. That's absolutely it.
But, Lord.
Yeah, I would say that maybe you can put both those together.
I think you put them both together. That's a great point.
I think her message was, I'm a woman. I'm with her.
I agree.
I'm a woman.
And she didn't go
past that. She did Stronger Together, but that doesn't mean shit anyway. Better. Make Cancun great again. Make America great again. Like, I get it.
No, I mean, Brett, I'm with you. And Francis, I'm with you. I don't think that was the sole reason she lost, but I don't think that you can separate some of those factors. That's all I was saying.
What Hannah meant by it.
Okay. All right, let's jump into the next story. Right. So Amy Schumer's Leather special just came out on Netflix last week, and it has already amassed over 2,000 responses, almost all of which are one stars that she is claiming come from alt-right trolls that are trying to sabotage her career. Now, in an Instagram post, she wrote that the alt-right organized trolls attack everything I do. They organized to get my ratings down, meeting in subreddit rooms. They tried on my book and movies and TV show, and I want to thank them. It makes me feel so powerful and dangerous and brave. Now, in that same Instagram post, she also talked about an article in Splitsider that mentioned some of the comments about Amy Schumer in the subreddit, The Donald. And so you can see here some of the things that they're telling their followers to do, right? It says, to those that still have Netflix, Netflix just added a new Amy Schumer special. Please go and one star that piece of shit. It has 1.5. Can we get it down to one? These sorts of things. And you can see in some of their responses on Netflix that these are definitely trolls, right? So the first one I want to read is, I wouldn't watch anything with this ignorant, whining baby in it if you paid me. Does that make it clear enough for you, liberal nut jobs?
Ignorant whining baby, that's your president.
These are my favorite comments. When you have, like, you can see these on YouTube, and clearly it's right here. It's like, I didn't watch this video, but I know it's stupid. I wouldn't watch this piece of shit. Then why are you rating it? You don't get to rate it unless you watched it. Mm. All right? Even if you're a few minutes in, you still can rate it, maybe then be like, oh, I got 3 minutes in. I gave it a hard effort. But if you didn't watch it, you don't get to rate it. You don't get to comment on it. Like,
God,
stop it.
I hope there was, like, at least one person who was like, all right, click. Now I'm gonna give this a terrible rating, and they start thinking about it, and they start watching the video.
A little chuckle.
And they're like,
oh no, somebody watch.
She's funny. She's actually self-deprecating. And it's so good. I love that.
So, but I love that she's saying that it makes her stronger, right? Because she is this very, like, strong and empowering voice for a lot of women. Like, you don't have to love her comedy, but she is a very empowering voice for women. She speaks a lot about different political issues. Obviously, with the whole train wreck gun violence issue, she was very active about that. And I think the way that she talks about sexuality, frankly, even if it's not your cup of tea, you know, it's still great, and it's still opening this conversation that a lot of women are told they can't have out in public. So I think this is really important, and apparently it's offending a lot of people, which, you know, to her point, is making her feel more powerful and more empowered. So all good for her.
Just a question. She's not my cup of tea, regardless of what she has to say. Like, some parts are funny, some parts aren't. But, right. Do you feel like when she's putting this message across, it's a way to kind of justify that maybe in case her ratings aren't as good to say that, oh, it's those that are out there blaming, like maybe pushing the blame on the fact that they're trolling it if it might not be doing as well?
Maybe. Maybe. Who knows? Friends has one star on Netflix.
That is that someone should go to jail for that.
I have watched, since it's been on, literally every episode of Friends. How many people are really going, like, Amy Schumer's enough of a known quantity that you know whether you're going to watch this special or not.
Right.
And you know that she's controversial enough that someone who would be interested in watching an Amy Schumer special might look at her and say, you know, there's probably detractors out there. There's a lot of people who don't like Amy Schumer. That one star is for her. You're probably going to make up your decision as to whether you're going to watch her or not. That said, no matter how many detractors she has out there on subreddits or no, she's still got a stack of change because she made her. She has her Comedy Central show, which has won awards.
They're not slowing her down.
Yeah. She's doing great.
And here's the great thing, though, is that, first of all, I love that I like that she's calling him out, right? I think that's important to call these out and to bring, recognition that there is sort of these subreddits that are pinpointing her. But the other thing here is, though, that Netflix just switched over to thumbs up versus thumbs down instead of stars. Mm. And so some people are saying that's because of her coming out saying this. I don't necessarily know if that had anything to do with their decision or not. But I don't know if that necessarily fixes the problem, right? Because, like, when we put YouTube videos out, you can still, if you talk about anything like female empowerment or anything, you're going to get more dislikes than likes.
But is that a pro? I don't want to tarnish it as a problem, because I generally think it does go both ways on both sides of the political sphere. I mean, Ivanka Trump directly feeling the repercussions of course, being associated and caught up in a political fight, which, again, is understandable because people don't want to go forward and purchase her clothing with Donald Trump. So what I say to this is, I think this is all part and parcel of being involved in politics. This is why whenever I talk about celebrities being involved, I am all for them speaking out. I would rather come forward and say this is all what really goes along with speaking out in this very bipartisan climate, because you're going to get people on both sides. It's all part and parcel with it. So there's no, I don't think that it does any good to come out and say, oh, well, they're coming out and trolling me, or they're coming out and trolling me. Because as soon as you insert yourself into that conversation, that's bound to happen on both sides of the argument. I don't think that it's anything new, especially if you're a comedian. You should not feel that you cannot rip on Donald Trump because you're worried that you might be pissing off another audience. I completely can give her congratulations for always also, standing by that and coming out and telling Donald Trump.
If you're a troll, the last person you should go after is a stand-up comedian.
Right.
Because they cut their teeth enough in shitty clubs with people way worse than you for years. So they know how to handle it.
Also, how sad is your life that you have to go on and like try to give a billion one stars to people?
It actually makes me feel good when I do.
Like, I didn't even know there were places where you could like leave comments on Netflix.
Yeah, that's what I was
saying. I was like, where is this? Like, but how do I find this function?
You can leave comments.
It actually works in your benefit.
I'm going to go in great comments to Stranger Things. I'm going to go and tell them how I love, really feel.
Ideally, what Netflix is doing is finding out what these trolls don't like, which apparently is Amy Schumer, and then burying all her stuff at the bottom of their queue, and then making it that much harder for these trolls to find the next one that comes out, because they have to bury through all these things Netflix is like bubbling up over that thing that they're voting down on Netflix.
Yeah, like, are you more racist than a fifth grader or something like that? Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right, moving on. Four bakers have been arrested in Venezuela after what their president is calling the bread war. Now, President Maduro is trying to deal with some of the shortages they're having and deal with some of the long lines for bread, and he is targeting bakers. Now, the National Superintendent for the Defense of Socioeconomic Rights said it had charged four people and temporarily seized two bakeries as the Socialist Administration accused bakers of being part of a broad economic war aimed at destabilizing the country. So I just want you guys to understand this real quick. They are saying that some of these bakers, people who make bread, are trying to destabilize the country. Okay? The government said that the bakers had been selling underweight bread and were using price-regulated flour to illegally make specialty items like sweet rolls and croissants. Now, they're only allowed to make French bread and white loaves. This is a socialist economy. Now, President Nicolas Maduro launched Plan 700. It's called 700 because they're sending inspectors and soldiers to 700 bakeries against what he called this bread war, ordering officials to do spot checks of bakeries nationwide. Now, just to give you guys some background of what is going on in Venezuela, they have been in a deep, deep economic recession for the past 3 years. Now, Venezuela is a huge exporter of oil. It accounts for 95% of their revenue, but they import everything else. Now, when oil prices went down in 2014, they saw a huge shrinking of the economy. Now, the pricing and accessibility of goods has just skyrocketed in the country. It's impossible to get flour, basic goods like toilet paper and things of that nature. And so they have these very, very strict rules about how much flour and wheat you can use in different baked goods, what kind of baked goods you're allowed to make and things like that. And so they're saying basically that these bakers are trying to capitalize on the inflation that is going on in the country and sell these goods like either on the black market or mark them up differently and things like that to destabilize the economy.
They're cutting it. They're like drug dealers cutting their heroin with other shit. It's tough. I mean, I read this story and I'm like, oh, another bullshit reason for seizing industries in Venezuela. Like, that happens every day. It sucks. It sucks. I wouldn't want to live there because of how bad the economy is, I mean, because they have one industry and it just took a giant hit because prices went down.
But how bad does your government have to be if you have to use bread as a scapegoat?
No, it's not that. It's true. I mean, but what are they going to eat? Oil?
We need to understand the Venezuelan economy going back to Hugo Chavez, right? I did numerous research in college over this. The American government has had a major influence over Venezuelan politics for years.
Of course.
Involving overthrowing of governments and really wanting to be involved and leave their footprint on the Venezuelan
economy. All of South America.
And then Specifically, yeah, it's not just Venezuela. And then Obama administration imposed numerous sanctions as well, because basically he deemed Venezuela a unusual and extraordinary threat to security and foreign policy, basically a reason so that they could go in and impose further sanctions. So this economy has been in free fall. It's been in crisis. You mentioned it there in 2015, the oil prices were cut in half. So in order to try and make up for that, what they started to do was print money. And I mean, by printing money, what that does is it drives up inflation. Right. So such things as groceries were increased by like 25% higher than what you usually pay. So no one in that infrastructure could handle that driving up economy. So they started to basically struggle and queue up overnight to just get things like rice and cooking oil. So the place itself is, of course, in turmoil. And people will try to take advantage of that to try and make some ends meet so that they can try and push forward to supply for their family.
Everything that you said is totally accurate. I mean, they have 1,600% inflation and things like that. There's a huge issue. There's a huge shortage for all these basic goods. But the underlying problem is the government. It's not the bakers. That's the real problem. It's like basically using it as a scapegoat and saying there's a bread war and that's why you're suffering. And that's not why you're suffering. It's because the government has totally fucked you over by having sort of all this inflation and not having a better and more stable economy by trying to make more goods or import differently and whatever it may be. Having, you know what I mean? Like, that's the real issue.
I have no idea what the Young Turk audience is going to say about this story that says socialism doesn't work. because the truth is, what happens is at a certain point when you have runaway socialism, and especially in a South American country with the economic makeup that they have in Venezuela, is you eventually that socialist ends up being a strongman, and you have what you had in Cuba. Especially, I mean, go look at some of the photos that are amazing, where both Castro and Chavez are both in red when Castro had his problem. But like, I don't know. I that's why I say we should temper some socialist instincts with some free market capitalism and try to make sure that there are checks and balances against runaway political ethoses. That makes me a moderate. So I don't know where the fuck everyone's going to land on this story. Yeah.
It's mismanagement of public finances because of relying on one of your most wealthiest sources of income with your oil. And as soon as that cuts, you find it hard to try and justify. But I can't just sit and simply state that it was mismanagement of the Venezuelan government. There is involvement from exterior power, whether it's got an alternative political idea to maybe overthrow a different political party that maybe did not align with some of the United States.
In South America, the U.S. is just kind of like, Chile, here's a dictator.
Exactly. So that's where I just become a little bit not as critical as I would be on maybe if it was the UK government that was doing the same thing or the US government. I just think that these specific countries that have been meddled in, like, that's why it's so ironic when everyone cries, oh, Russia's meddling in our election. The US is meddled in, I'm not justifying that, but the US is meddled in more elections than one could count on fingers and thumbs. So I'm just saying that there's other reasons as to justify why this, people are looking to try and go to some drastic measures in order to try and make their way.
Not arguing that. I'm just saying, let's not arrest people who are trying to make bread.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying. All right, let's go to this last story because I love this one. So if you are in the midst of a midlife or quarter life crisis, I have some good news for you. It turns out that youth is not all it is cracked up to be. Now, Business Insider compiled a bunch of different studies to talk about what age you peak for different things. Now, for some things like learning a new language, which peaks at age 7, or brain processing power at age 18, youth is definitely on your side. But as you get older, some good things come, okay? So one of them is that women are most attractive to men at about 23.
No. What are you talking about? That's ridiculous.
Damn it.
22, it says. That's even worse.
Men's attractiveness to women seems to get better with age. Isn't that just sort of a nice little example? We've never seen that in Hollywood or media or anything.
Yeah, that is.
Blows my mind.
Yeah, that is really optimistic, this study, just like you said.
Okay, but so there's some
where does it get better?
So, okay, I'm going to start with the negatives and then we're going to get positive, right? So life satisfaction first peaks at 23, okay? But it'll peak again, don't worry. The peak age to settle down is 26, which is very depressing.
I did that.
But okay, now I'm going to talk about some positive things. Nobel Prize winners make their big discovery at age 40 on average. Women's salaries peak at about 39 and men's at about 48. life satisfaction again peaks at 69.
Nice.
And I love this one.
Because you're like, no, I can do it and it's funny.
Yeah, 69 is fine at that age.
I love this one. Men and women feel best about their bodies at age 70. So a lot of like the more psychological well-being happens later in life. But obviously like learning and attractiveness happens a little younger.
Right, but their psychological well-being is until 82. So you have to feel good about your body before you feel good about your mind.
What's the point of working out every day for the next, 20, 40, 50 years so that you feel good about your body at the age of 74?
I just think
my time in the gym, like, what am I doing? Why am I wasting my time at this point?
Well, what happens if you don't go to the gym every day till you're 70?
Then when I'm 74, I'll be happy with myself.
This happens if you don't go to the gym every day till you're 70. You take your shirt off on a set once and the producer goes, is that your body? That happens.
Arithmetic skills are better when you're 50, and then at 51, you're best at understanding people's emotions.
But you won't actually be that good at it ever. Like, that's when you're best at it, but you probably won't
probably
ever be.
You're married, maybe you're on your like second spouse by then or something like that, and you're like, oh, I've got it now.
Your second 23-year-old spouse. Because that's when they look good.
But the real point is there's no surprise why life satisfaction is at 69.
Yeah, for sure.
Easy joke. Everyone watch. Thank you, Bartman.
I love that it's like all these things are like very identifiable, like vocabulary, how attractive someone is, and then it's like winning a Nobel Prize. Yeah. Oh, that thing. That's when I'll be best at it. I'll still win a couple at 42, but they won't be as good.
Yes, that is very true.
I love that brain processing power is at 18, because that's exactly when I started drinking.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. It's like a lot of these things are probably influenced by external factors like drinking or like other things that you're doing that could maybe, this is really interesting. If you guys can go to the first graphic, one of the key ways that they sort of measure brain processing power is testing your brain's processing power is through what's called a digit symbol coding test. They equate a number with a certain symbol, then give you a string of numbers and ask you to convert them to the correct symbols. Like, if that's like the key for your brain processing power, like that's just so like bizarre and abstract. Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. I would take some of these with a grain of salt. I'm sure you're doing great wherever you are.
You know why that you're good at that at 18?
Because
at 18, you're a senior or a freshman in college. And when someone asks you to do something like that, you're like, I'll take that challenge. But when you're 23, you're like, go fuck yourself. I'm not doing that horse shit. Yeah. So I get a zero. I'm sorry, I get a zero because that is stupid. Now, ask me what words mean and add sure.
All right, just to wrap this up, I just want to say that a lot of these are from self-reports, so it's hard to know if they're super accurate. So don't get all upset and don't get too encouraged either, all right?
Come back to me when I'm 74 and that's when I'll be happy with my body.
I'm happy with your body right now.
I'm happy that you're happy with my body right now.
All right, so that has been a very fun St. Patrick's Day show. Are you guys doing anything fun for St. Patrick's Day tonight?
Drinking Guinness.
Yeah.
I go to an Irish bar in Los Angeles and they tell me that they do not have Guinness, there's going to be a catastrophe.
Has that happened before?
It's happened several times. They call themselves Irish bars and they don't have Guinness.
I would like to see a hashtag TYT live that comes up with all of the things that Francis can provide me for a ride home tonight.
Oh, we need to talk about that. We didn't. It was in the being nice section. Let's do a really quick thing.
But it needs to be, I need to justify.
See,
I need to
give. Nice.
I need to set.
He's
gonna
do it,
I need to set the scene really quick before it goes, so that people understand that it's not.
Don't
crazy.
Give any city names or streets. No,
yeah, don't give any.
I won't give one city name, and that is this is a Los Angeles problem. I know there's the first world problems. This is a Los Angeles problem.
Yeah.
So I wasn't able to drive to work today. I had to drop my car off at the BMW. Won't tell you why.
Francis drives a BMW. Just so you know, Francis drives
and
a BMW.
And he won't pay for an Uber
Bavarian,
to go home.
Bavarian Motorworks. Bavarian Motorworks.
All right. So as I was mentioning, dropped it off there. I got a ride in from a very nice colleague of mine, Jason Rubin.
Yeah.
Shout out to TYT Sports.
He's nicer than I am.
Nice.
Not going to drive you home. How did that drive
go? He had to leave because he wanted to go and watch a March Madness game. So I thought, who lives on the west side of the city I'm in?
Yes.
Hannah Cranston.
Right.
Driving up. Wait, you're on the west side of the city. So that's just where I
know.
So I was like, Hannah, could you drop me off to pick up my car that's in getting serviced? Her response was, yes, where is it?
So I said, yes, where is it?
Okay, so
nice.
I broke
Which
out.
Which is actually not actually that nice.
Guys,
there is obviously a time when you'd say no.
So I broke out the demographic of where she would have to alter her route.
Which
to take
would
me
involve
to.
A lot more traffic, both going there and returning to my residence.
Before I tell them the traffic, you need to to let me tell them the distance.
I know, but you're just very long-winded, which is another reason I don't want you in my
2.1 miles away from her house is where the bee...
2 miles in Los Angeles? For anybody who knows Los Angeles, 2 miles is a long flipping way.
The route, it would have taken her 8 minutes to drop me there and 8 minutes
return.
That's not true. 16 minutes.
What time? Okay, I'll drive you, maybe. And I'll time it.
That was amazing.
That is so easy. A man explained it and it happened. A friend explained it and it happened.
Oh, wait, now, here's the thing. With Hannah, you just have to give her a challenge.
Give her a challenge. I'll prove you wrong.
I don't think you can drive me there.
I'll be like, Anna, you couldn't make it in 10 minutes back. All right, challenge accepted. Yes,
Will, where is it? Where's the starting line? Son of a bitch.
Oh, that was unfortunate.
May not have.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Have an awesome weekend. Please be safe tonight on St. Patrick's Day, and we'll see you soon.